politics, religion, fortune,
privilege,
fame,
addicted,
money, getting richer, power,
manipulation.
Welcome to the school.
It's time.
Welcome to the school of life. School of life. Sometimes I did it wrong, sometimes I did it right. School of life. No matter how crazy this world may seem.
School of Life Nation, what's up? We are back.
We've graduated to a nation now. We a nation. That's what's up. Y'all are still liking our page. We right. love you guys. Keep liking it.
Yeah. So glad to have you all as listeners. We appreciate it. We see it. Hey, we still ain't got no new comments though. I'm still waiting on some new reviews on Apple. I see that you guys are listening, and for that, I say thank you. Really thank you. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts and whatnot. But listen, today we got a good episode in for you. Today we're gonna talk about change. Yeah, everything is always changing.
That's it.
But before we get in to that topic, I just want to share something. Is I had the awesome opportunity this week to attend the NAACP Freedom Dinner.
Nice.
It was here in Detroit. It was the Detroit chapter, so I'm guessing that every chapter has theirs.
Yeah.
It was really dope. I went to a recruiting event week prior for the NAACP.
Yeah.
And it was there that I met the executive director. And we was having a conversation, and she mentioned something about dinner, and I was like, "Oh, you giving us tickets?" And she was like, "Oh, y'all want to come?" And I was like, "Yeah, we want to come." And so she was like, "Okay, I'll get y'all some tickets." She's like, "Y'all want to come to the after party too?" I was like, "Yeah, we want to come.
Not?
Why not? Yeah." And so I said to say is you have not because you asked not. Okay, so listen, I don't know what you in need of, but sometimes it's not about how much money you got in your bank account. Sometimes it's about you just opening your mouth and asking for what you need and what you want.
That's it. They say a closed mouth don't get fed.
Hey, that's it. So it was real cool. And my work team kind of used this event as our last rodeo. Mm-hmm. And I'll get into that in a minute when we talk about change. But yeah, so it was like, you know, it was cool. It was like, you know, oh my, we going to this elaborate event. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? So the whole notion of finding something to wear. I got plenty of suits, but you know, I'm like, nah, I got to get a new suit.
Yeah,
you know, my wife was supposed to go with me, but listen, my wife don't do nothing last minute. Okay,
yeah.
If it's last minute, she do not do it.
She likes to be prepared.
Yeah, and I told
That's
her,
cool.
I told her probably Friday, and it was Sunday, and she was like, like I gotta get prepared for this. I wouldn't need to do this and do that. And I was like, you know what? I ain't mad at you. You know, yeah. It is what it is. I ain't mad at you. I know that about you.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't help it because I got the tickets. Like
last minute.
Yeah,
you got
last
the tickets
minute.
Last minute. So
it was nothing that I prepared for, you know?
Yeah.
So but it was all good. So but like I said, I went with my work team. So it was all good. But just being able to just that excitement of, you know, going shopping to buy mm-hmm. something, to wear something, man, it was that was cool. So if anybody out there, man, if you got a wedding coming up, if you got anything, I'm telling you, like, you'll get some joy from just being able to go buy something, put something on, get ready, prepare. Like that, that was fun.
I got a wedding coming up this Saturday, as a matter of fact, and I haven't bought anything. So I just heard a word from the Lord.
Actually, is it Jalen's wedding?
Yeah, Jalen's okay, wedding. Yeah, man, we'll be looking forward to it.
That's what's up. We'll be there. So that was like, that was really, really cool. And man, at first I was like, you know, I'm gonna wear gray. So I ended up finding this gray suit, this nice gray suit. I mean, I actually got it from H&M, and it was slim fit too. So I was like, ah, man, you know, because I usually was simple. So I said all to say that the pants, man, was like extra tight. I'm like, dog, man, so I had to go size up on the pants because them H&M suits, man, I don't know what size them pants. They wasn't a 34, though.
Times have changed.
I don't know
what 34 is not where 34 used to be.
It's not. I was like, man, whatever. So, you know, definitely, you know, got dressed, you know, felt good. Got there, grand experience, man. Mm-hmm. Red carpet, you know what I mean.
Nice.
All the backdrops, huge. Cobo Hall, Huntington Place. Now,
yeah,
it didn't change names every week,
it's
right?
It's still Cobo.
It's still.
I don't care what they say.
And so, pretty dope event. They had like it was so many tables, but you had the governor there who spoke. You had the Wayne County executive who spoke. You had the mayor of Detroit. That spoke, and then they gave out a couple different awards to some people who done some amazing things. One person of note that was there was the guy who got fired from Amazon, and he's been working to formalize a union. Mm-hmm. And I think he's one in New York, and he's got a lot of stuff going on. So he was one person that they recognized and gave an award to.
That's what's up.
But overall, just a pretty dope night to just get dressed, go somewhere. And then you heard, you know, a lot of the political talk about, you know, Democrats and, you know, and their agenda. And, you know, it's election season, you know, so, you know, all that stuff was going on. But by far, it was something that I felt like it was like black excellence, you know. And, you know, there was, you know, wasn't only black people there, but it is the NAACP. But it felt good, man. It felt good. It felt good to be there. So if your state, wherever you are, if you have a branch of the NAACP and they have their Freedom Fund dinner, definitely go. Like, definitely go and check it out. And then they had the after party, which was, like, really dope. It was at the Rooster Tail. You know, they had, you know, the waitresses, man, coming around every 5 seconds offering you some type of hors d'oeuvre, man. Just, like, right in your face. Just wow, they had 313. Nice. Shout out to 313 Live Experience, man. Dope band, dope Detroit band.
Yes, I love that.
They
man.
Was in the house rocking it. Ali Keys, Angela Davis. I mean, they were there rocking. And we just took pictures, man. We enjoyed ourselves, and it was a good night. And I'll end it with this. I felt like I was the new Uncle Phil from Fresh Prince. You know, that's the vibe it gave me. I said, you know what? I'm doing this every year.
So you were on top of the mountain.
Hey, I guess right. It was a pretty dope event, and I think it's just good just to meet people, to network with people. You know, I had my team there, my work team, so we were all like glued into each other. Mm-hmm. But I still ran into a couple people, saw some people that I knew, you know, rubbed some elbows, had some conversations and whatever. But I think it was the first time that I noticed, like pre-COVID, that I was like, dang, like this place is packed. Ain't nobody got on no mask. It was almost like a surreal moment, like, dang, I guess the pandemic is, I guess, it's over. Like,
that's what people say. That's what they say.
Yeah.
But you know what, it's and this is for anybody, mm-hmm. because the NAACP to some of us, like, mm-hmm. it's just an entity.
Okay.
It's an entity of letters. But it's good to do something like you did, mm-hmm. to even become a basic level member of mm-hmm. the NAACP, to see what's happening in your community, especially if you are in a community this majority minority, which mm-hmm. that might not make sense, but if you like, if you're a minority, but you're in the majority of your area, it's good to join a group like the NAACP to see what they're doing on a grassroots level, to get to know people, to see what's happening with the movement, because it actually is still a movement, mm-hmm. Not only for civil rights, but for us to reclaim, you know, some of our personal integrity as a group of people. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, you and I, we're African-American. We're mm-hmm. one of the few groups within this country that isn't consolidated. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, you know, the Latinos, they're consolidated. The Korean culture, various cultures, they're consolidated. Whereas with us, we're not as consolidated as we used to be. Mm-hmm. So when you see something or you go to an event or you join a group like the NAACP, it helps you to feel whole. Like, OK, mm-hmm. we're doing something. These are the people doing it. I want to be involved with that. So I commend you, man. Mm-hmm. I was, you know, I'm a card carrying member of the NAACP, mm-hmm. Have been. Was not at the event. I will be there with you next year.
Okay.
So yeah. I'll be there. We'll be there next year with the hors d'oeuvres and all this, the hors d'oeuvres and all that. But it's good for us to join that. So if any of our listeners are interested, you can just simply Google NAACP and then follow the membership prompts.
Okay.
And you'll be able to sign up and they'll let you know what's going on in your neck of the woods.
Yeah, I'm definitely, matter of fact, I'm going to do that tonight. I'm definitely going to sign up because, you know, I was there because somebody gave us tickets to be there. So, and I had saw the event maybe a couple years ago and I was like, dang, I think that's something I want to go to.
Yeah.
So it was like ironic. Even though you have not, because your ex not, like I said, like, oh, I'm gonna do that. Like, mm-hmm. I think I said next year, and that year might have been COVID or something, like maybe. But like, yeah, like it was pretty dope. And I think that it's something I want to experience, something I want to go to. So does it cost to be a member? Do you?
Yeah, it costs to be a member. Okay. I think I paid. I think it was like $70,
okay.
or maybe $100 for the year membership for me, and then one for my wife as well. Mm-hmm. But I guess the way I look at it is it's money well spent, mm-hmm. because I can go out easily buy a pair of Jordans, mm-hmm. and that's half of the membership cost.
Yep, true.
And that doesn't really make me more involved with my community. So, yeah. you know, I can drop that $100 and, you know, not like I'm rich, because I ain't. I ain't rich at all, man. Anyway, that's why we need you guys to comment, like, and share the sport. the School of Life podcast, because we need you guys to help us out. Help some brothers pay some bills. We love y'all. But help us pay some bills. Shameless plug.
Right. Shameless plug.
Shameless.
So at work, I've been experiencing a lot of change. At first, it was change that I wanted.
Okay.
It was change that I wanted. It was change that I thought I needed. It was change that was better for my family.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in my line of work, working as a police officer, I was working for TSS, which is our tactical service section, mm-hmm. which we hit a lot of doors every week. We was always going after violent criminals. And so, and we were the department stepchild in a way. And I say that is because if we were second to our special response team, you know, SRT, SWAT, whatever you want to call them, we were the most trained on the department.
Wow.
Which means that we can do anything. Hmm. So when it comes to hitting doors, when it comes to executive protection, when it comes to doing traffic details, when it comes to like whatever, if they didn't have nobody do it, TSS did it.
Okay.
So because of that, my hours were crazy. So mm-hmm. my hours regularly was supposed to be 11 to 7. So 11 in the morning, 7 at night. But a lot of times, you know, I worked 11 to 11 or I worked 3 to 3. You know what I mean? 3 p.m. to 3 a.m. because that's what the need, especially in downtown Detroit in summertime and different things like that. So I was like, you know what? It's time for a change. You know, my children are getting a little bit older. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm excited. They actually was supposed to start soccer tomorrow, Thursday. But I have an engagement. I'm not going to be able to take them.
Okay.
But just doing stuff like that. You know, mm-hmm. it's like I want to be able to do stuff like that. I want to help out a little bit more. I want to be more home. So I was like, you know what? I'm looking for a landing spot. And the Lord, you know, made a way, connected me, and I landed great. You know, landed mm-hmm. on my feet. And the change was good. And as soon as I got into the unit on my first day, the sergeant that recruited me to come left.
Wow.
I know, right? It's just like it was just like – you know, he had been dealing with some things or whatever as it relates to his boss. You know, in police world, everybody has a boss. You mm-hmm. know, every sergeant has a lieutenant. Every PO, you know, has a sergeant. Is always this whole big chain of command. So he was having some issues. And, like, literally my first day, like, I was meeting the team. People I knew, but I was meeting the team and being mm-hmm. as a new member. And it's like, yeah, just let y'all know, I'm leaving. Like, I'm leaving. And within, I think he took a week off or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that following week, he was gone.
Wow.
So I never even got to work with him. So they brought on somebody else. Cool, love her to death. She's become like family. You know, she connected with us, the team. We rocked out. We did our job and everything like that. She's been there since January, I want to say.
Okay.
And Monday they replaced her.
Wow.
I know, right?
Man, like a revolving door. Like, What's going on?
I don't know. And so it just made me think, like, man, and not that, you know, things are going bad or anything like that, because we're doing our job. We're doing what we're supposed to do.
Yeah.
We're meeting our numbers. We're hitting our goals as it relates to recruitment and recruiting to the department, stuff like that. But it's just like, it's so much change.
Yeah.
And I thought about, and I was like, but when I prayed to God, and way before I left where I was at, mm-hmm. I said, God, I'm ready for change. You know, I need change.
Bless your heart.
You know, I literally told God that, yeah. Like, you know, I need change. And so, and I think sometimes in life is that we think we have it all figured out, mm-hmm. right? We have it all figured out. Lord, I need change. I'm asking you to change this. Yeah. Like, this is what I need you to fix. Yeah. This is what I want you to, everything else I got, mm-hmm. I want you to change this. And it's like, God has a way of changing everything.
That's it. Everything. Everything.
You know, it's like, Lord, when I said change, I did mean that I no longer wanted to be in that unit anymore. Mm-hmm. But I didn't want that to mean that my direct report, you know, my supervisor was going to keep changing. Now I'm going to learn another person. And it's like, mm-hmm. the change, it's just, and then, you know, the lieutenant change. You know, not only that, the sergeant change, the lieutenant change. And then as, you know, then they started to, you know, when you get new bosses and you get new management, they look at things, they put you under a microscope, mm-hmm. they look at what you do, and they have their own thinking about what you do and how you want to do it and what should be done. And so they try to invoke their change. And it's like, yo, wait, God, I asked just to move units. And it's like every other week, I'm experiencing some type of change.
Something different.
Yeah. And it's been crazy. So I thought it would be good if we talk about change.
Cool.
Because change is inevitable. You know, mm-hmm. it's inevitable. Like, it's going to happen. It's not if it happens. It's when it happens. Yeah. Because I don't care how good you got it. I don't care how good this is. Even if somebody's going through a bad situation, mm-hmm. I don't care how bad it is. Sooner or later,
it's gonna be a change.
It's gonna be a change.
That's it.
And so I think change is this double-edged sword that can be so beneficial, mm-hmm. in so many ways, but in so many other ways, it can be hurtful. What other word I want to use?
I would say scary.
Scary. Yeah, it can be regretful. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But one thing's for sure that I can say is that, you know, how the Bible says, never have I seen the righteous forsaken or a seed begging bread. Mm-hmm. I don't care how much change I've been through in my life. I've been uncomfortable. I've been fearful. Mm-hmm. I've been doubtful. I've been hurt. I've been scared by change. But look, I'm good, you know? I'm good. I'm still here, you know?
That's it.
I'm still here. So I look at the definition real quick, and then I'm going to just talk to you about it. But it says that change from Google, it says to make someone or something different, alter or modify, replace something with something else, especially something of the same kind that is newer or better, substitute one thing for another. What you think about that?
So right away when I think about that, I think about how change is transformative.
Mm-hmm. What does that mean? Transformative. That's a big word.
Transformative. More than meets the eye. No, well, what it does, mm-hmm. it's a process. Mm-hmm. That's probably the simplest way I can put that.
Okay.
Right? Like, we look at change from the end point. Mm-hmm. Where I want to go,
yeah.
Where I want to end up,
mm-hmm.
and how I want it to work out. when actually change is an organic thing. It's not just a point we get to, but it's things that happen, our changing of thought, our speech pattern, our conversation, how we carry ourselves, our patience. You know, I know I prayed that same prayer in my career before quite a few times. Lord, I'm ready for a change. I'm ready for a change. And he says, okay, the manager that you used to think is crazy and was bad, let me give you another one. And you're going to learn to appreciate what you used to have. And then through that process, I end up learning a lot more about myself. And even though the environment changed, right? It was really me that transformed. The process started happening in my life where I was like, okay, I need to gather more patience. I need to be not as critical. And those are the things that sometimes happen in change that we don't really look at. We look at the end point. I want to make more money. I want to have more personal time. I want to have a better work-life balance. I want to have this. I want to have that. And God is saying, okay, I'm willing to do all that. I'm willing to give you all that. I can give you all that. But at the same time, you have to be molded, or we have to be molded in order to possess whatever we ask for and change.
Yeah, that's good. And so, like, I love that analogy of we looking at change as end goal, but it's actually, it's happening, especially if you're in Christ.
Yeah.
It's happening from inside out.
That's it.
You know? So, hey, I'm going to go ahead and move you here. But along the way, I can't just move you and let you experience the change as who you are, because that would be beneficial. Yeah. But because I'm giving you the change, or I'm going to change you in the process.
That's it. And that's the thing that we kind of rail against sometimes. Like, yeah, sometimes in change, you got to deal with some stuff that's not convenient. And it's not something you really want. That's mostly all of us, right? Like, I don't want to – let me just be honest. I don't want to lose money. To at the end of the day have, you know, have less stress sometimes.
Right.
You know, because right away we say, oh, I'm losing money. But really you're gaining peace. You're gaining grace. Maybe the boss that we used to like, all right, we cool. We got a dialogue with them. We know them. But then maybe that's not the person that's going to make you prepared for the next leadership position.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how God works. He looks at it as, okay, I'm giving you this promise, right? And I know the end point. He said Jeremiah 29:11. We say it all the time. You know, the expected end. He knows the end, but it's really our job to have faith and still believe till we get to that point. And that's pretty much one of the things that change challenges. It challenges where you're at right now. It challenges the habits you have. It challenges the things you've built already. And it says, okay, if you want to get to this end point, are you willing to let this go? Are you willing? I've had to, let me just be transparent. I've had to let go of title before and take a demotion in title in order to get peace. In order to do things in ministry the way God wants me to do, I've had to let go of things of wealth. And I didn't want to do it. I ain't going to lie to you. It still didn't sit easy with me, because when I'm looking at that, you know, that weekly paycheck, and it ain't quite working out the way it used to work out. But then I'm like, okay, I can do more in ministry. I have more time with my kids. I see my wife more.
Yeah.
You know, we have all these things. And I ain't missed a bill yet. I ain't missed a meal yet.
Right.
And that is the faith aspect of change. Like, we got to have some faith in there to say, okay, God, I believe that you got this.
Yeah. And you make me think about this story in the Bible, John chapter 3, I believe it is, Nicodemus. Nicodemus comes to Jesus, the Bible says, at night.
At night.
And he comes to him and he says, you must be, you know, who they say you are, because no man can do the things that you do unless he be sent from God. So backstory, John chapter 1. John the Baptist, you know, makes this great declare that Jesus is the Christ. He's the savior of the world. And Jesus goes to a wedding and he turns water into wine, and people are chattering, and the word is getting out that, hey, the savior that we've been looking for is here. And then Jesus does something very crazy and goes into the temple and begins to turn the tables over, and he's upset. And, you know, it's one thing to be angry, but it's another thing to go inside the institution of something of some sort. And it's another thing to go inside the institution of some sort and start turning tables over. Like, that is, that's crazy. Like, that is, that's nuts.
Yeah.
And so I believe that Nicodemus is kind too scared of being seen talking to Jesus. So he goes to Jesus by way of night, yeah, and says, like, listen, nobody, you must be the Christ, because nobody can do the things you do unless you be Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus says something that is so profound. He says, that's it. You have to be born again.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Nicodemus was a religious leader. He was, I think he was a Pharisee. Mm-hmm. So he was one who knew his word. He was one who studied. He was one who read from the scroll, different things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so you say, well, in modern day times, Nicodemus was a Christian. He was a believer.
He was a pastor or a bishop. Right. He was up there.
So why in the world would Jesus tell him he has to be born again?
Mm.
And I believe that in that born again, he wasn't preaching necessarily conversion, mm-hmm, but he was preaching that of his thinking. Yeah. In other words, you've come into the realization that I am the Christ,
mm-hmm,
and that Christ is now made flesh and dwells among us. And from that, Nicodemus was confused. I got to be born again. How can a man go back into his mother and be born again? And Jesus says, "Nah, I'm not. I ain't talking about a natural birth.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm talking about a birth that's by fire. I'm talking about a spiritual birth.
Yes.
A spiritual awakening of, mm-hmm, the realization of who I am." And so I could just imagine the change.
Yeah.
Because Nicodemus this whole time had been talking about somebody that was to come. He'd been preaching about somebody that was to come and all these other things. And now he has to wrap his mind around this man that's in front of me is 100% God and 100% man.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't even think about.
But you know what? That's. It's saying that you have to be born again, right? Mm-hmm. It's indicative of the change,
mm-hmm,
that we really have to make, mm-hmm, not only as believers, but as being growing believers,
mm-hmm,
right? That you have to change. And when he says you have to be born again, it automatically puts us in the sense that something has to die in, mm-hmm, order for me to mature.
Mm.
Right?
That's good.
Just like Paul said, he said, when I was a boy, I spoke as a boy. I talked as a boy. Mm-hmm. I acted as a boy. But he said, now that I'm a man,
mm-hmm,
I put childish things away, or I put them to rest, or I put them to death. And that's similar to the change that we have, that as we're growing older, we're growing, not, I don't want to say older, mm-hmm, but as we're growing to be more mature in Christ, there are things that we've cocooned ourselves in, right?
Mm-hmm.
We've cocooned ourselves in the same set of friends, or we've cocooned ourselves in the same way of thinking and in the same habits, because we are creatures of habits. But we truly must be born again if we're going to accept change or something new.
Mm.
There are some things that have to be left behind, just like a butterfly. Mm. When a butterfly exit out of that chrysalis or exit out of that cocoon, in the cocoon, it has the wings. In the cocoon, it's fully formed and matured. But it can't realize its maturity and what it's equipped with in its gifts until it gets out of the cocoon.
Mm.
And that is the change that we have to kind of get through. Like, okay, I got to break out of this.
Mm.
And sometimes that's what God is using change to do, to break you out of your old self, to break you out of your old habits, to break you out of your own thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Because great things he has for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody got to hear that right there. God has something great for you.
Yeah.
And he wanted to put you in this place and take you out of this place because he's put some gifts inside of you, and he just needs you to fly. Mm. He needs you to fly. In the name of Jesus, just fly.
That's good. That's powerful. It makes me think about minister, a friend of ours, Minister Renisha.
Powerful.
Yeah. She said this thing this one time, and it makes me think to somebody that's struggling with change and who is change is killing you. It's so hard on you because you don't want to let it go. And she said this thing that says, if it's killing you, it's killing that part of you that's keeping you away from God. And I just wanted to interject that, you know, tonight and just say, hey, if change is killing you, then don't worry. It's just killing that part of you that's keeping you away from God, that's keeping you away from the growth, that's keeping you away from the maturity. And one thing that we can say about God is that, you know, the Bible says, a lot of times we use this when we talk about giving. We say that God gives seed to the sower. Mm-hmm. But when we look at that text, it's really God blessing who the person who's willing to be a good manager. Mm-hmm. And as we learn how to manage what we have, wow, and take care of what we have and honor what we have, God will give us more. But sometimes, you know, we go through life and, you know, we experience change and and God is just saying, hey, the change, I just need you to manage it. I don't need you to be God. I don't need you to be great. Mm-hmm. I just need you to be human and manage the season, the place, wherever you are. I just need you to manage it. And I believe that in becoming good managers, he gives seed to the sower. So as a result of managing the change that God is allowing me to experience,
go ahead.
and managing that change that he's allowed me to experience, then he opens the door, you know, for my next level or for increase or whatever it is that he has next for me, he gives it to me. But a lot of times in change, we regret it. You know, we regret, we run from it, we hide from it.
Yeah.
We don't want to experience it. But I think even tonight, I feel in my spirit that the Holy Ghost is saying that, like, hey, manage the change.
Wow.
Manage the change.
So question, right? And we didn't talk about, this is organic. This is y'all who are out there, right?
Right.
Like, we didn't talk about this in the pre-talk, right? I got a question there. Okay. Because, you know, I wholeheartedly agree. Mm-hmm. Like, we got to manage change. Mm-hmm. But I guess the question is, how do we manage change, mm-hmm, right? And I want to throw that, like, out to you. And I guess I might think of something as well. But how do we manage that change?
So the first thing that came to mind when you asked the question is a scripture that's found in Philippians that says, think on these things. Hmm. Think on those things that are pure, that are holy, that are righteous, that are of good report. A lot of times when we're going through an experience change, we're so regretful because we keep looking at how things were.
Oh.
We stay, ooh, this is blessing me.
Man, I mean, ain't the only one.
Yo, we look at, oh, well, we used to do it this way. We used to do it that way. Mm-hmm. I've been doing this way for all this time, whatever. So we can't really experience change, or we can't manage the change, mm-hmm, because we're fighting against the change, because we're not thinking about things that are pure, that are holy, that are righteous, that have good report. And so when we look at God's word and everything, we can find ourselves even in seasons of lack, even mm-hmm in seasons of being in a destitute place, we still can find something to be thankful for. We can find something to say, thank you, God, for.
Yes.
I know this is not working out the way I wanted to, but you can still be grateful. But a lot of times we neglect that and we stay stuck on how things are changing, and that becomes our talk. And you may have coworkers like that.
Man.
That's all they do is talk about how it was, how it used to be, and how we ain't got to do this, and how we ain't got, and that, and they become consumed by the change.
Wow.
And as a result, they never change. You know,
because the whole thing is, we can't stay the same as we always been. Like, clothing designs change. How you decorate your house changes. The type of vehicles you change. How that vehicle operates, mm-hmm, it changes. Now, on a basic level, it's the same. But when you begin to look at the other things, mm-hmm, around it, it has changed. It is metamorphosized.
Yeah.
It is grown and mature. But sometimes we just be like, oh, I want to stay in this corner, in this compartment.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not changing, then you're dying.
You're dying.
That's what happens.
Yeah.
Man, that is so good. When you begin to speak, and mm-hmm, man, that was the Holy Ghost. I don't care what nobody say. That was the Holy Ghost that gave you that. But when you began to speak, I started immediately thinking about when Jesus was talking about the wine bottles.
Mm.
All right? And he was talking about, you can't put new wine in old and bottles. The old wineskins, they'll burst because they can't stretch. They not flexible.
They can't hold it.
And then that's the thing. God wants to deposit something good in our life, right? Mm-hmm. But sometimes we so rigid.
Yeah.
We so dry.
Right.
We so brittle that we're not able to flex when God says move. We're not able to move. We don't want to expand when God says expand. We're just brittle and just, we just dry. And yeah. because of that, the gift that he has, yeah. it bursts. And it got to go to somebody else. Yeah. It can't go to you because you won't move. But man, that was great, man.
Yeah, man.
That was beautiful. You blessing me tonight.
Hey, man. This is blessing me. And so when I think about managing change, I not only think about perception and how I see this change, but I think that we have to revert to the Bible says that the steps of a good man is ordered by the Lord. Mm-hmm. You know, the Bible says all things work together for the good of them who love God and called according to his purpose. And so in that, we have to come to the understanding that even though I don't like this place, this is where God wants me to be.
That's it.
This is where God wants me to be. And I think that, and I'm not saying that God causes every, you, I don't know what change you experience. Maybe a loved one died, you know, mm-hmm. maybe you lost your job, you know, maybe you get married and you happen to be submissive, or maybe you're married and you're having to leave. What I'm saying is that God uses the path that life takes us on mm-hmm. to get glory from our lives.
That's it.
So it doesn't matter how you got there. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times what we think about how we got there, right?
Yep.
I would never be in this situation
if
they didn't do this, or if she didn't do that, mm-hmm. or if he doesn't do that. Forget about it.
Yep.
You're here.
Yeah,
you're here. And because you're here, God can use you here. Mm-hmm. And because you're here, God wants to pull something out of you.
Yes.
God wants to perfect something. So don't worry about how you got here
yeah.
or who caused or who had or what happened. Just find out what is God trying to get from this.
I always like to say, just like you said,
mm-hmm.
but just in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
Romans 8:28.
Ah.
For we know. That all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. But mm-hmm. that, you know, I said it in a joking way, mm-hmm. but it's true.
It's true.
Like, that has to be your mindset, mm-hmm. even in the middle of life-altering change, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's small things, like examples of clothing and fashion mm-hmm. like that. Those are small things, right?
Yeah.
But you measure some real heavy stuff, right?
Yeah.
Like going into marriage
mm-hmm.
or going out of marriage into divorce
yeah.
or losing a parent or a child or a loved one. You know, those are some life-altering changes. And sometimes in the middle of that, you have to keep your mind on the end point. Like, God, I know that some
yeah.
good is going to work out of this. It doesn't feel good.
Mm-hmm.
The change in itself
mm-hmm.
was not good.
Because yeah.
we can never say it's good to lose a loved one or a parent, right?
Yeah.
We'll never say that. But we can say that even in this,
mm-hmm.
God can give us some insight. He can give us perspective.
Yeah.
He can teach us about his love
yeah.
and his grace and his power. And sometimes when we're in the middle of change, that thought, like managing change,
mm-hmm.
having that end thought that no matter what happens,
yeah.
I know that God loves me.
Yep.
He cares about me
yep.
and he's going to keep me. That has kept me when I was about to lose a job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they laying off people on first shift, second mm-hmm. shift, third shift. And someone one time, true story, guy asked me, he said, what we going to do? I said, well, I don't know what you going to do, but I'm going to keep loving God, because if God gave me one job, he can give me another one. He can provide it for
yeah.
me. And I still live by that mantra
mm-hmm.
that no matter what is happening, no matter what is going on, at the end, God is going to get the glory, and he's going to work this for my good. And
yeah.
that has to be one of the things that we, like you said, we
yeah.
think on good stuff.
Yeah.
That has to be one of our thoughts, that God, I know you're going to work this out for my
yeah.
good.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think about, and just listening to you, it made me think about, okay, I think that every time I've experienced change in my life, I've picked up a skill or mm-hmm. sharpened a skill. And I think, you know, even in this season of the change that I'm experiencing in my workplace is helping me to be more flexible than I've ever been.
Hmm.
Because it's like you got two roles. You can fight against the bricks
mm-hmm.
where at the end of the day, everybody's replaceable. You
yep.
know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's replaceable.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care who you are. I don't care what you do. You're replaceable.
That's it.
And I think a lot of times, you know, we try to come against the change for the sake of it being. I'm off on a rabbit hole because this is not where I was going with this, but it must be. But guys, so I'm gonna stick with it. But I think that a lot of times we'll call change the devil.
Yep.
And we'll fight against it. We'll fight against it. We'll fight against it. And I think that, you know, you'll have to ask yourself, well, what am I holding on to?
Mm-hmm.
Am I holding on to something that I'm just comfortable with? Or am I holding on, or am I trying to hold on to something that I feel like is beneficial? You know what I mean? And second, thirdly, is where is my faith? You know?
That's it.
Where is my trust in God? And I think that, you know, but we'll look at change and we'll call it the enemy. You know, mm-hmm. We'll call it the devil. And that's because it's uncomfortable, because yes. We don't want to. But what are you holding on to? Like, you know, what is, because the only thing in this life that you got to be sold out on, sold out, no change, is your salvation.
That's it.
Anything other than that is changeable. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You know, it's changeable. I mean, you know, even in death. Right, because some things you would say it never changed. You know, this person is my wife. I love them to death, and then when they die, then what? Yeah. You know, you're gonna find somebody else to love. It
your life is gonna change.
It's gonna change again.
It's gonna change again.
So, you know, I guess what I'm trying to say is that change is inevitable.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna happen. It's not if, but it's when. And be careful with calling change the devil.
Yeah.
Be careful with calling it demonic. And a lot of times we're saying that is because we don't feel comfortable in it. But maybe God is, you got to remember, God's ways and his thoughts are far from our ways.
Man.
Far from our thoughts.
Yes.
So if you tell me you got God figured out, I'm scared of you.
Yeah. That ain't how it works.
I'm scared of you.
I'm learning stuff. And even in salvation, right? Mm-hmm. It's growth there.
Yeah.
Like I'm not the same now at this age as I was when I first got saved mm-hmm. at 18.
Okay.
Right? Like I've grown and matured. And it's funny that you mentioned that
mm-hmm.
because right before I came over here, me and my wife were having a discussion about something.
Mm-hmm.
And I recognized that I was wrong in that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, man, Lord, I'm sorry. Like I didn't do this right. I'm wrong in this.
Mm-hmm.
And then immediately, as soon as I said it, and I said, that's good that I said that.
Mm-hmm.
I said, it's good because I'm not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what happens as you grow and you change to become more Christ-like. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you save. You go to church. That's good. But the truth is, we should look back and say, yeah, I'm closer to God today
mm-hmm.
than I was yesterday last year or whatever. But if you just had the mindset, I'm perfect.
Mm-hmm.
I'm perfect. I'm good. I got it. I don't got to change nothing. Then you got to really examine yourself and say, okay, are you really growing
mm-hmm.
or are you just kind of fooling yourself?
Yeah.
That's about it.
So let's, I guess it's going to get a little personal. And we'll wrap it up with this.
Okay.
We'll wrap it up with this. So I'll let you answer and I'll be thinking about an answer and then I'll answer.
Okay.
So what in your life have you had to change that was so uncomfortable for you? And how did you manage that change?
You're right. This is personal.
We try to help somebody.
So I'll give you a couple of things.
Okay.
I'll give you two. Because
okay.
I know people struggle with this because I struggle with it.
Okay.
One was cussing.
Okay.
Woo, boy. Let me tell you. Because, you know, when I was mm-hmm. in the world, mm-hmm. man, you know, I ain't bother people, right? Mm-hmm. I don't bother people. If you bother me, if you mess with me, you're going to get that other fella.
You're going to get that other fella.
So that was one of the things mm-hmm. that when I first got saved,
mm-hmm.
that was one of my struggles, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is not cursing people out, not mm-hmm. using that language to express myself.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Bible talks about, you know, a holy well and an unfit well and all this stuff. So mm-hmm. that was one of the things. So one of my things was praying about that. Even, you know, my thing, even cussing without people being around.
Mm-hmm.
Because nobody heard me, right?
Mm,
but
right.
It was in my heart and in my spirit. Mm-hmm. So that was one of the things. So that was one.
Mm-hmm.
For two, apologizing. apologizing, saying I'm sorry, even when I'm not wrong. Like, if I ain't wrong, man, skip you.
Yeah.
I am not telling you I'm sorry. Right. And that was something that God really had to deal with me on, about forgiveness and being able to forgive other people. And while it sounds like, oh, that ain't nothing for some people, for me, that was a stronghold. Like, why am I going to say sorry to you? Or, you know, all of this. And, you know, you get on my nerves. Forget you. I don't got to talk to you no more. Right. That was one of the things that really, really bothered me. So, for me, those two things, at least initially when I first got saved, that was a stronghold, man. And I had to learn to change, and it took practice, right? I'm not going to say it happened overnight. It didn't. It didn't happen overnight. It took a lot of practice. It took a lot of focus. It took a lot of me coming back to God and saying, God, help me, help me, help me, help me. And that was just me, right? But those were my struggles.
Good. No, so... How did you manage him? Did you say how you manage him?
No, I didn't. So, okay. So one of the things I did, and this was probably early in my Christian walk, I started looking for scriptures.
Okay.
Like, that was one of the things. Like, I looked for certain scriptures to commit to memory about, you know, you should use no filthy communication. You know, you should be showing grace to those who love you, you know, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So one of the things I did is I wrote down scriptures in the back of my Bible. I wish I still had that Bible. Somebody took it out of church. They must have needed it more than me. But so that was one thing, right? Writing down scriptures. Another part of managing that change was also trying to think differently, right? Especially when it comes to forgiveness, putting myself in the places of other people. Or also thinking that I need forgiveness just like they need forgiveness. And then not dwelling on it, but being quick to forgive. So that was kind of the things that man's changed. And then also being, you know, finding a, not a responsibility partner.
Accountability.
Thank you. An accountability partner. Having somebody else say, hey, man, you know, I'm struggling with this. You know, and, okay, all right, I'm going to pray for you and talk to you. And that was a regular thing. To help me with that change. Now I look at it, it's not hard for me to, you know, if I mess up or whatever, just, all right, I'm sorry, my bad. And people say, oh, you said that quick. Well, it's kind of in my heart now.
Right.
I'm not going to be like that. And that's pretty much how I managed it. I don't know if that was exactly what you're looking for, but
yeah, nah.
that was pretty much it. Like, yeah, scripture, mindset.
Yeah, so it's you. It's you.
Yeah, that was it.
So, I mean, that was good, and I know, and I, you know, believe that somebody's like, man, I've been trying to stop cussing for forever, and I'm about to start looking for scripture. Like, I know it's going to help somebody. I would say something that I've had to change and that it was hard for me to change, and actually, I'm going to give something current that I'm currently still working and fighting to change about myself is okay, so I feel like being grown up, being the baby, being the little brother, I felt like growing up, you know, is like somebody could say, I could say something, right? Let's say we're in a room, and I'd be like, man, we should go down the street and go play basketball, right? Okay. Something like that. Let's say I'll say it. I'll say what I said, and nobody would say anything. Like I didn't say anything. Like I didn't exist. Like I wasn't even in the room. And then somebody else would say, hey, we should go play basketball.
Okay,
let's go do it.
And
it's just like, I literally just said that. You know what I mean? And that's on a smaller scale. But even on a larger scale of you know, or having ideas and being in a place where you're brainstorming with people and you come up with an idea that you done sought the Lord for. You know what I mean? And you give that idea, and it's like you didn't say anything.
I feel you.
But then somebody else or somebody even can say verbatim what you just said and be like, you know what? Yeah. And it's just like, bro, I said that just 2 minutes ago. So I had like this anger of not being heard. Like I had like, okay. So it made me be like, well, y'all gonna hear me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It made me have this, I guess, I don't want to call it Napoleon complex, but in a different way. You know what I mean?
I know, like, what you're saying. You want to be recognized.
I'm going to be heard.
Yeah.
I'm going to be heard.
Yeah.
So I think in that, I've learned how to be articulate. Mm-hmm. I've learned how to cut people up, not even using cuss words, but just be so direct and so convicting in how I talk and when I feel like I'm not being heard. And I realized that it's not right. And I realized that came, even though if I decide to go to law school and, you know, and become a lawyer,
it's going to happen a lot.
And it'll be good for me. You know, that skill will be used, but in my everyday walk, in my relationship with my wife, in my relationship with people, that is not, it's not called for. It's unbecoming of who I am. It's unbecoming of my character. Mm-hmm. And rightfully so, I still feel like I need to be heard. But for whatever reason, if I'm not heard, then maybe perspective, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe there's, you know, God's way of whatever. I don't even know. I can't even come up with it. You know what I mean? But and it's just like, okay, well, I've learned to spew where I'm valued. Hmm. I've learned to you know, give what thus saith the Lord to people who are itching to hear it, who wants to hear from me, instead of, so I've learned that in every room I don't need to talk.
Yep.
You know what I mean? I've learned that, you know, it just is what it is. And to just appreciate that the Lord thinks enough of me, that he gives me insight, that he gives me, you know how and stuff like that. So that's something that I've had to fight to change, because it's like, okay, well, where's the root? The root is pride, because I want you to hear me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I just realized, like, God don't want me to be prideful.
No.
So if the Holy Spirit uses me and I say something and nobody hears it, and it falls on deaf ears and nobody takes it and sees it at value, oh, well. Oh, well, it ain't my loss, because I don't have a dilemma.
That's it.
You know what I mean?
but you know what? You say something, and that's just very true. Because and let me tell you, I value what you have to say.
I hope you
recognize that, because sometimes I ask you, like, hey, what's this? What you think about this? And then you will give me sound advice. Mm-hmm. But sometimes, you know, it shows us who values us, and who sees us for who we are. And that's a damaging thing, right? Like, a lot of people, not just younger brothers or younger sisters, a lot of people deal with that, man. Like, even if it's on the job, especially as us as African Americans, I've been in that position. So I recognize and I appreciate you being honest about that, because as you were speaking, I seen myself in that story. I'm like, and you get upset. But so how do you kind of deal with that when that comes up? How do you?
So I take a step back.
Okay.
I take a step back. So I try to understand, okay, did they not hear me, or they're not listening to me? You know what I mean? Are they not listening, or did they not hear me? And there's a difference.
There is.
And I just feel like if people are listening and don't hear you or whatever, then it's just like, I guess I kind of hard. So I take a step back and I think about it and I say, now, I just said this. Nobody said nothing. Is it worth saying it again?
Saying it again.
Or worth saying it again? And I weigh, me saying this, what type of value is it really going to bring? You know what I mean? Is it going to be, you know, this huge thing, or is it going to be a small thing? You know, is it worth me saying it again? Is it worth me whatever? And I just kind of weigh that out. And then I ask myself, if this doesn't get known, if nobody hears it, or nobody's listening, what is it going to hurt? You know what I mean? So it's just like, what is the value of it? Now, if I'm saying, like, get out the way, a train is coming, you know, and nobody's listening, the train is coming, then that's important. I don't want you to lose your life. So I'm going to communicate that over and over and over again and slap you upside the head and drag you away from that train. That's important. That's serious.
Yeah.
But everything that I have to offer ain't that serious.
That's it.
And I had to learn that, you know, I had to learn that, you know, it just, everything ain't that important. And so if you know, sometimes you just got to take a step back and just allow things. And that doesn't mean because I'm learning how to manage it, mm-hmm. that doesn't mean that it makes me feel good.
Yeah.
That doesn't make me feel like I've arrived, because it's still a daily battle, mm-hmm. whatever. And I realized that how, as a kid, how something as simple as being a kid, you know, mm-hmm. and how that will transform into adulthood, mm-hmm. and, you know, maybe whatever. Maybe they did. Maybe the people did hear me and just didn't understand the value of it.
That's it.
And that's another thing, is because the Bible says, you know, in all you're getting, get an understanding. Mm-hmm. So you can say something that's of value, but if people don't understand what you're saying, then you didn't say anything because they don't understand.
That's
not a knock on who you are and how you think. Mm-hmm. That's a knock of their lack of capacity to value, you know, what's being said.
Exactly. And you know what, man? I appreciate you for saying that, because I'm pretty sure it's a lot of people that resonate with that. Mm-hmm. And it's hard, especially depending on the arenas you're in,
mm-hmm.
to get that point across. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that you said, I take a step back,
mm-hmm.
and because sometimes we mix up taking a step back with totally disconnecting.
Right.
Because I've had mm-hmm. issues with that. Like, I'm like, okay, y'all ain't hearing me. I ain't got nothing else to say.
So then I'm just not got an attitude for the rest of the day.
Shoot, it might be longer than the rest of the day. Y'all might not hear nothing from me for the rest of the quarter. Damon, what you think?
Right.
I don't got nothing to say. Knowing I do, but I'm glad you said that, because that shows maturity. And that's really what change is about, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's about that maturity. Thank you for that, man. I appreciate it. You bless me.
Yeah. This has been good. Listen, School of Life Nation, we thank you for tuning in. We thank you for listening in. I feel led to ask Pastor Damon to pray today. So we're going to ask him to pray over everybody that's experiencing change. Please know that you are not alone.
Yes.
You are not alone. It may be uncomfortable. You may feel alone. You may look around and you may see nobody there. But understand, the Bible says that Jesus would be like a friend that stick closer than a brother. He said, yes. Lo, I'll be with you to the end of the earth.
Yes.
So you may not see him. You may not feel him. But I guarantee you, if you just tap in a little deeper, if you pray a little bit harder, if you worship a little bit longer, the presence of God will definitely come. The Bible says that it says, cast your cares upon me, for my burden is light and my yoke is easy. And when we find ourselves in prayer and we find ourselves in worship, that's where that exchange happens, where I get so built up in God that he supernaturally removes my worries. He supernaturally
yes.
removes my doubts, my fears and the anxiety.
Yes.
And now I have his yoke, you know what I mean? And his yoke is easy. His yoke is the peace of God that surpasses our own understanding. And a lot of times in life, and especially experiencing change, we think that we need an answer. We think that we need an outcome. We think that we need a result. But all we really need is the peace of God. And so I challenge you to dig in a little deeper. Like I said, pray a little longer, worship a little harder. And I know that God will meet you right where you are.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you first.
Yes, God.
We thank you, O God, for this podcast. We thank you for Associate Pastor Hearn, O God. We thank you, O God, for the lives of our listeners, O God, and the grace that you bestowed upon all of us. Lord, as we move through this life, as
yes,
we
God.
Seek to grow closer to you, O God, to be more like you, O Father, to act more like you, we ask, O God, that you surround us with your peace, your love,
yes,
your grace, and your power, O God. Someone's dealing with change in their life, O God, insurmountable tasks that are coming against them, O Father, in the home, in the family, in the workplace.
Yes, God.
Lord, we ask, O God, that you move. Move in a way where you strengthen them, O God,
yes,
to be able to walk through the valley in the shadow of death and fear no evil, O God, because you are right there with them, O God. No matter what the
yes,
change
God.
Is, O God, no matter how it's trying to come upon them, God, I ask that you remove stress,
yes,
that you
God.
Remove pressure, that you remove pain, O God, that you remove man's expectation, O God, and let us look to you, O God, because you are the author and the finisher of our faith. Lord, be with us, O God, and give us, O Father, the wisdom, the knowledge, the integrity, O God, and the spiritual dexterity to walk through every wilderness, through every situation, and through every bit of change. We thank you, O God, because
yes,
we're
God.
Coming out on the other side of this better.
Yes,
we're
God.
Not coming out bitter, O God, but we're coming out better. We're not coming out weaker, O
oh God, but we're coming out stronger. And God, we want to make sure that we lift up your name, that we give you the praise, that we give you the glory, God. Because it is you and you alone, oh God, that's watching us throughout all of this. And Lord, you said you would be right there with us. So God, we give you a hallelujah, because we know on the other side of this is a blessing. Yes, we thank you, we worship you, and we love you, oh God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Well, listen, thank you guys for listening. If you're not following the School Life Podcast, please like, subscribe, share, tell a friend, share this episode. You can follow me on Instagram at Mr. Hearn, and you also can follow me on Facebook or add me as a friend on Facebook at Justin Hearn.
And you can follow me, Pastor Damon Allen, at Instagram on D_Allen_blessed. Or you can find me on Facebook as Damon Allen. But whatever you do, just be blessed. We thank you and we love you guys.
And if you ever find yourself in the Metro Detroit area, please stop by my church. It's Conquerors Church. We're right on 13 Mile in Gratiot and Roseville. Please visit our website at conquerorschurch.org. Stay up to date on everything that's going on. We also have a YouTube channel. You can follow us on YouTube. You can stay up to date on all the sermon series that are there. Conquerors Church, that's conquerorschurch.org. We just started a new series entitled Pneuma, which means the wind or the breath of God. And it's a teaching on living life with the Holy Spirit. And I'll be up this week, this Sunday at 10 a.m. You can catch us on YouTube and Facebook Live.
Amen. And you can follow Zion Progress on Facebook right now. Don't worry, website is coming. But keep on following and believing. Amen.
Amen.